and from life in the stars to life down here on Earth. Last October, Governor Ige issued an emergency proclamation that put homelessness squarely in the crosshairs of government action. Since then, the proclamation has been extended 5 additional times, including the latest last week. With the ongoing spotlight trained on the state's actions, how do organizations which help homeless people gauge the response and the results to date? Scott Fuji heads a coalition of advocacy groups. He joins us now with a status report. Scott Fuji from Focused, welcome.
Good morning, Bethann. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in with all of this. Now, for the last 10 months or so, we've watched one extension after another of the emergency proclamation. And we've also seen that there have been things that have gotten done. Some would also say, though, this is just perpetuating crisis management. How do you assess what's happened in the last 10 months?
Well, I certainly think, you know, we've certainly been in a crisis. A certain level of crisis management is definitely necessary. I think that, you know, we don't want to live, you know, in a perpetual state of 60-day extensions forever. But I think that some of the immediate needs that have arisen, you know, really necessitated having the flexibility that the emergency proclamations allowed us. But the ultimate goal really is a long-term sustainable plan to address homelessness, not just today, tomorrow, but moving well into the future.
What we've seen over the last 10 months also gave us an example of what, you know, could be done, at least in some very specific ways, if we, you know, could operate that way on a daily basis. How do you transition what we've learned through the crisis and what we continue to learn and translate that into daily activity that begins to address homelessness in a measured, strategic way?
I think some of it has to do with communication and response. You know, some of the best example I can think of is recently Honolulu lost some HUD funding, and there were some programs like Gregory House programs, Halekipa ZEO program, Transitional for Youth Shelter, were at risk of losing some federal funds for housing supports, and the state was able to step in through the emergency proclamation and kind of offer some emergency relief to make sure that their populations were going to continue to be supported. But that communication, that dialogue has to be ongoing so that, you know, as federal funding priorities shift, as we know that they will over time, the state and the city and county are having that communication with providers and being able to say, hey, what's the new funding, federal funding priorities are going to be, and are they leaving any gaps in our system, and how can we fill those gaps in well before they become a crisis and emergency and we lose fundings and we were at risk of, you know, having warm bodies out in the street because, you know, we weren't communicating ahead of time. And I think that communication is starting to happen a lot more than it was before.
More than, say, over the last couple of years when HUD made it very clear about what they were going to be funding and that they were really looking in a housing first direction?
Yeah, and I think some of that was, you know, when was the shoe going to drop? You know, and I think some of that came down. And so I think now that we know that this is the method at which HUD will begin to make, you know, funding prioritizations available, I think Partners in Care has taken a very hard look at this year's notice of funding availability and making sure that, you know, we are maximizing the amount of federal funds that we're eligible for, and that if there are shifts in the system, that we're communicating that back to, you know, the other funders, the state and the city, for example, and making sure that they're aware that these are some potential gap areas that we may need some additional coordination of services.
What's the timeline in there between finding out and then communicating? Because you're sort of making the point that should be as, you know, short as possible, and that everybody should be sitting around a table and made quite aware of who is going to be doing what and seeing where those gaps are and then who can fund those gaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that comes down to having the providers, you know, giving them that voice and being able to sit down and say, hey, look, this is what's coming down the pipeline. This is what we're seeing in terms of vulnerable populations that are emerging, or this is what we're seeing on the ground in terms of the needs that our population is having. And getting the state, the city, and the feds to sit down and say, okay, so we know that, you know, HUD will pay for this, but they won't pay for, you know, a supportive service of some other kind. State, can you pick up that tab? Or city, can you pick that up? Or does that align with your priorities as well? And if we sit around the table and we find out that something is missing, is slipping through the grasp, at least now we're all together at a table and we can figure out if we need to, you know, redistribute or move around resources.
Does that mean new resources in your mind, or just reallocating resources that are already available?
Well, I'm always hopeful for new resources, but I think, you know, in recognizing that there isn't an unlimited supply of funding and resources, it may come down to a reallocation in some instances, and just making sure that we're addressing really what's the most prevalent need that we're seeing out on the streets.
So over the last 10 months, what do you count as being a win?
Certainly, the Coordinated Statewide Homeless Initiative, the CSHI program that funneled, you know, close to $5 million through Aloha United Way, that's been great at providing rental subsidy and support for families and individuals, also some prevention programs. There are also a numerous amount of county housing projects that have been able to be expedited that are targeting homeless and very low-income households to create affordable housing, which, you know, that stock that goes in is not just for the immediate crisis, but that's a long-term solution. You know, affordable housing really is the way that we're going to address the long-term needs of our community, not just for those who are currently homeless, but preventing folks from falling into homelessness in the future.
Or being able to help those who do, because it's not something that we all know is going to go away in totality.
Absolutely.
Looking forward now, what do you see happening as we move now close to the one-year mark of the emergency proclamation? What do you foresee happening to maybe change that dialogue a little bit into a long-term strategy, besides having everybody sit down and talk about that? Is there a way that we need to shift how we look at this?
Well, as an advocate, I certainly think advocacy is a big part of that, being able to communicate not only with our legislators at the city and the state, the city and the county and the state level, but also, you know, with the administrators of these different programs, and making sure that, you know, information flows, you know, as freely as possible between the groups, and that emergent issues have an ear to hear them. So that's, I think, the biggest part of it. But I think also looking at the changes that are coming on to the Hawaii Interagency Council on Homelessness, you know, and being able to use those as working groups and really bringing together the providers and the government officials together to work on specific issues.
And your assessment of how city and state and federal officials are working together?
Oh, I think they're definitely trying to coordinate their efforts significantly. And I'm just going to plug in also with the providers. I think they're also really doing a conscious job of checking back in with the providers on a regular basis to make sure that the folks who are, you know, the quote-unquote boots on the ground have their input valued and heard.
Scott Fuji, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Scott Fuji is the executive director of the nonprofit coalition FOCUSED. That acronym stands for Protecting Hawaii's Ohana, Children, Underserved, Elderly, and Disabled. The group advocates in the health and human services sector, especially for affordable housing, homeless people, children, the elderly, and at-risk youth.